Today on Real Radio.
Now look, I have brought this time, if you guys get out of hand, I have brought this fire extinguisher to help you through the evening. Now I'm going to ask you to help me out here. I don't want you guys, if you have to laugh and giggle over this stuff, just cover your mouth. Because we're going to talk Bible here in regards to relationship.
You make me, break me. Change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands. Let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a collection of topical studies taken from the numerous scripture passages that teach us and give us examples of how to live as believers in an unbelieving world. Our teacher continues in his mini-series called Being a Christian in Your Home. Now, we do need to mention that there are issues of marriage being discussed in this study. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Anybody visiting for the first time tonight, we won't embarrass you. Just raise your hand. God bless you. And those of you who in the back and those of you who won't raise your hand, God bless you as well. And for those all that are joining us on the His Channel broadcast tonight, that's awesome. Grab your Bibles tonight and turn, if you would, to Colossians chapter 1. We are in a series that you know about, and it's called, a series in that it is the Life and Bible series, meaning that the Scriptures apply to our lives. And how so? And we are looking at Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 9 to 14 as our theme verses for what we are marching through in that how does the Word of God, the Bible, apply to our day-to-day lives? And is it really that applicable and alive? The Bible says of itself that it is alive and sharper than any two-edged sword. That is, the Bible has the ability, because it's not a book, listen, it's not a book written by man. It is a book that is written or authored by God, who used men to write it. That's why the Bible tonight, and every night for that matter, is without error. The Bible has no errors in it. People will say, oh, the Bible's got full of errors. Listen, if you can find an error in the Bible, you'll be a millionaire, a billionaire. Find some. You'll be the only person to ever discredit the Word of God. The Bible has not only stood the test of time, it will stand the test of time. It is God's holy Word. The bizarre thing is that it is absolutely perfectly true, and God used men filled with the Holy Spirit, says the Bible, to author the Scriptures, that is, to write them down. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, breathed through them, and the authorship of the Word of God was written down. And so we look at Colossians chapter 1, follow along with me, beginning at verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled, what a great prayer, with the knowledge of His will, that is, to know what to do, in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, that is, putting up with the things of this world with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us. That's good news, my friends, because you can't save yourself. God saves us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even, says the Bible, the forgiveness of sins. Building upon every week that we've been together thus far in these Wednesday nights, Life in the Bible series, remember, we looked at being a Christian at our jobs. Remember that? And if you weren't here, you got to listen to that, because your employer will be thankful and you will be thankful. Because as a Christian, our witness ought to shine forth at our jobs. And secondly, we looked at our relationships, that being a Christian in our relationships really matters. And in that, we looked predominantly at being a single, but not exclusively. And as we go through this study, we'll touch on and many times throughout the course of this series regarding being a single or a married person and all of that. So nothing set in stone exactly. And then last time we got together and we looked at being a Christian in your home. And that's where the rubber meets the road. Many of us have a view of Christ or God or the Bible based upon what we saw, either in a good way in our homes or in a bad way. And home life is a very powerful thing. I mentioned to you before that an MTV World poll that was done in 2008, they asked on this MTV poll, what was the most important thing that matters to you as a young person? And they had like a list of 10 things to pick from. And an overwhelming majority of worldwide young people said a family. Number one was a family. They want a family. They believe that their future and the future of the world was dependent upon a strong, healthy family. And I thought that was quite wise. And in our study last time, we were planning on getting all the way through, but you guys got out of hand, if you remember. But we looked at this. We looked at what is a marriage, that God is the one who designed marriage, and he designed it for a very specific purpose. And inside that confines or that institution of marriage, there are some things that a marriage is to achieve. And of course, there are many, but we only touched on a few. Number one was this, that what is a marriage? It is a picture. And the Bible tells us that God speaks to us in the Bible and in life regarding a marriage. In fact, in the Old Testament, he says, God the Father says, he's married to Israel. He's married to Israel. And it's a picture of the closest kind of relationship that we can have on earth that mimics what we can have with God. The Bible also says, as you know, that Jesus Christ is engaged to the church, or what is known as the bride of Christ throughout the New Testament. Secondly, we saw that it is a covenant. Marriage is not a contract, it is a covenant. We talked about that. We're going to put a quote up on the wall there, on the screens, I should say, and it says this, that marriage is a spiritual covenant relationship between a man and a woman that has been created and defined by God himself as revealed in the Bible. God created you, a male, and you, a female, for a great reason. And we're looking at these things as we go through this study. And thirdly, we looked at the fact that it's a foundation, that if a family is fragmented and very crazy, messed up, with no direction, no purpose, no stability, there's no foundation in that family, then unfortunately the children come out of that family often wanderers. The stats show us that so many children come out of homes that are broken or dismantled because of a very dysfunctional setting, many of them wind up being involved in crime and getting involved in things that would lead to a life that is wasted. And God established marriage so it would be that foundation. And then our point two last time about being a Christian at home was, what does a marriage do? And one of the things that we talked about, there was this ongoing theme, is that a marriage really today, based upon Scripture, resists the culture that we're looking at today. Our culture is trying to do everything it can to redefine marriage. What does a marriage do? And we looked at this. Number one, it binds two individuals together. It binds two people together. You know, when they come walking down the aisle and she looks amazing, he stands right about here. He is just absolutely excited and he's looking. And he's not looking at anybody else, by the way. They open the doors, the wedding music is playing, and she comes down the aisle. I got to tell you, it's an amazing moment. People stand. And I always like to watch the groom, the husband-to-be, out the side of my eye right there, because, first of all, I've done weddings before where, at that moment, she comes down, and he goes down. Now, I don't know what it is. I want to believe that he's just absolutely blown away at her beauty. But when I see his knees lock and he starts shaking, you know something's coming. But it's such an amazing moment, and the intensity of the moment and all the stuff that's building up to it. But I tell you, it's so fun because they come down the aisle, the crescendo's coming together, maybe months, years in preparation. I know she's been thinking about it since she's about 3 years old. And the whole thing comes together, And there is this binding together that takes place. The friendship's been going on. It's now evolved to something greater. Now they've made that commitment, and they're going to announce it before their audience and friends, but chiefly, namely, before God. And then later that day, not too much later that day, they're going to consummate that marriage in wild marriage sex that they do, and that's the way it works, okay? So all this comes together for them to become one. And God has established that. It binds people together. Jesus said, as we looked at last time in Matthew 19, verses 4 to 6, that you have you not read that he who made them, in the beginning made them male and female, and he said, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, bound together, glued together in body, soul, and spirit. So then they are no longer two, Jesus said, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let nobody separate. And that is a very, very powerful thing. Let no man separate. Keeping that in mind, this unity that takes place establishes this, a family order. We looked at that. Statistics show worldwide that a family works best when kids have a male, female mom and dad. And I know that goes against the grain of popular debate right now, but it is a sociological fact that a kid grows up most well-balanced with a mom and a dad being their mom and dad. And we live in a culture that has basically thrown marriage out the window. And if I were a young person here tonight, if I were you and you're single and you're young, I would be really, really searching hard and finding out what's the truth about all this stuff. Before you make that commitment to either be single or to be married, find out what's the best thing for my future. As you sit here tonight, and if you're single, are you going to have kids someday? How many kids are you going to have? Where are you going to live? You need to ask these very basic but life-altering questions. Because if you take the time to think this through now, it will really better your life in the future. God has an awesome plan for your life. And then we looked at how marriage and what it does, how it establishes a culture, and that is a culture of life. You guys, without a family, you don't have a society. And without a society, you don't have a nation. And that's very, very vital. All right, here we go. Point number three. This is what we tried to get through last time together. And I have brought this time, if you guys get out of hand, I have brought this fire extinguisher to help you through the evening. Now, I'm going to ask you to help me out here. I don't want you guys, if you have to laugh and giggle over this stuff, just cover your mouth. Because we're going to talk Bible here in regards to relationship. Point number three is where we left off at, and it's this: what gives in a marriage? And we looked at these things. This is what gives in a marriage. You and I do in a marriage. Friends, if you're heading into a marriage, listen up carefully. Very important. If you're in a marriage, stay tuned. Whenever you and I talk to somebody, that's important enough. But when we talk to our spouses, that's all important. How we talk to them, what we say to them, the tone of our voice. These things are absolutely vital. And we talked about how when you speak to someone that is going to be your husband or your wife, don't think for a moment that if you're going to speak to them in one tone now, that the day you say I do, all of that changes. Right now, you are involved possibly in an engagement. Then I want you to be praying and studying that engagement. How's it going? How does he speak to you? How does he treat you? How does she speak to you? How does she treat you? What's going on in that relationship? And what about in a marriage? Now listen, if you've been married and you're here tonight and it's been a rough marriage, don't think for a moment that, well, we'll just quit, we'll just give up. No, no, no. Take tonight's message and begin to apply tonight that you, being a Christian, let's assume we're all Christians tonight, that we are going to talk to one another as Christ would have us to speak to one another. Will we fail? Yes, we will fail because our flesh gets in the way. But how we talk to one another matters. And then what gives in a marriage is this. You and I do whenever we listen. We need to be listeners. This is a hard thing. Remember I talked about how hard it is for a guy to listen? Now, women, do all you women listen? You guys just know how to listen, right? Something's tough about this for guys. Ladies, be patient with us. Train us. We talked about that. And here's where we left off. What gives in a marriage? You and I do whenever you look. A husband and a wife should always look at each other, as I said before, with affection and affirmation. This is important. There's not a woman in this building that appreciates one second her man's eyes wandering off at some other girl. Well, what are you doing looking? Oh, I was looking at the street sign over there. Listen, God has given women the ability to know that if your eyes are wandering, God says, hey, his eyes are wandering. And she's going to get you. Listen, first of all, your eyes ought not to be wandering. You and I, as men, I'm just talking to the guys right now. Girls, you can take a break. Men are visually stimulated people. Okay, all of that pornography, Playboy, Penthouse magazine, all that stuff that Satan produces, have you noticed that those women that are in such things, they're not like the, and help me out here because I don't know this stuff, the Fifth Madison Avenue models that walk down the aisle. You know those models? They're like 9 feet tall and weigh 35 pounds. Those people, have you noticed? Those girls are selling clothes. They're selling clothes. None of those girls are in those other books. You know what I'm saying? Why? Satan knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly the fact that men are visually stimulated and respond to look, to what they see. Not so much so with women. They are more verbally captured. And this is a very serious thing because you and I live in a time, in an age where we are bombarded with these things. And no matter how young you might be tonight or how old you might be tonight, that temptation to either listen to someone who may be speaking terms of affection to you or someone who walks by, the temptation is there. And we have to fight that. And never more so in marriage. I told you before in Genesis chapter 26, verses 8 and 9, the power of look, the power of affection. When the Bible says that Abimelech looked out of his window and there Isaac was sporting with Rebekah, some of your Bibles say that he was showing her terms of endearment. You look it up in the Hebrew and it means that Isaac was showing Rebekah affection, flirtation. The word actually means to laugh or giggle, so you wonder what in the world was going on. Caressing and pressing into Rebekah, his wife. Then Abimelech said to Isaac, quite obviously, she's not your wife. Why did you not tell me? Quite obviously, she's your wife. Why didn't you tell me that she was not your sister? And this is amazing stuff going on by affection, by look. This is very serious. This is how we should, in our culture, be dealing with ourselves. Are you involved with somebody? Then you need to be asking the Lord, Lord, govern over my eyes. Protect me. Because how I look, where I look with my eyes matters. It's going to go right into your heart. And again, as I said, we live in a culture and in a time that says that throw off all restraint. Do whatever feels good. You ever heard that before? If it feels good, do it. And we live in a culture that has taken what God has engineered, relationships and marriage and sex and all these things that God has made, and the world has reinterpreted for us, and then they spin it, and you and I get bombarded with it on every angle of our lives. What we hear and what we see, from the billboards to the commercials on TV to the ridiculous programs. And if you entertain that stuff, and listen, I'm not just picking on the ladies here. If a man is looking at this stuff, it's ridiculous, equally ridiculously nuts. And that is so many of these soap opera things. It's all about she's flirting with him and lusting after the other and cheating on them. And it sounds like I'm describing a country western song, aren't I? It all sounds the same, looks the same like that. You need to be very, very careful about that. Because it leads to a dead end. Why? Because in your mind you begin to think, you may not think so at first, but in your mind you begin to think, well, it's no big deal. It's no big deal. It is a big deal. Because as it beats on us in this culture of, you know what, it's a gray line. It's not a fine line. It's a gray line. That in your life, if you begin to become promiscuous and you tolerate things in your life and You come to church on Sunday, you got a Bible, but you know what? You know, I just dabble, you know, with a little bit of sex in this area or a little bit of this in that area. And that, you know, I'm sure God will forgive me. You need to be careful about that. The Bible says to flee from all appearances by the way of sin. The Bible says to run when we're tempted, to run like Joseph ran. We need to be so, so absolutely careful. Why? Because the scriptures warn us that sexual sin messes with our head. It messes with our soul. And that is a tremendous thing. Now, follow along with me. This is where we ended last time. Song of Solomon, remember? Chapter 4, you can follow along. Turn there if you would. Chapter 4, verse 1. While you turn there, all you husbands, any husbands in here, raise your hands, your husbands. Okay. This is the way the husband's supposed to talk to his wife. Hey, wives, listen up. You need to mark this. You need to train your man how to talk to you. Now, remember, this is 3,000 years old, so we can kind of change it a little bit. And now, get control of yourself here. Don't laugh here and get funny. Chapter 4, verse 1. Behold, he says, remember, you are fair, my love. Behold, you are fair. You have dove's eyes behind your veil. Your hair is like the flock of goats. We explained that in depth last time. Going down from Mount Gilead. That means her hair is beautifully wavy. Your teeth are like a flock of shorn sheep. That means they're really super white. Which have come up from the washing. Every one of them bears twins, and none of them is barren among them. She's got all of her teeth. She's looking good. Listen to this. Your lips are like a strand of scarlet. I don't know about you, but that's pretty awesome stuff. Listen, that means he's looking at her lips. Hello? That's one of the most sensual things ever. It's quiet in here now. You guys are paying attention. This is good. He's looking at her lips. Maybe she's talking, or maybe she's just standing there, or maybe he's just remembering. And he said, man, your lips are like a strand of scarlet. That's pretty awesome. He's complimenting her. Your mouth is lovely. Your temples behind your veil are like a piece of pomegranate. Your neck is like the Tower of David, built for an armory on which hang 1,000 bucklers, all shields of mighty men. Your two breasts are like two fawns, twins of a gazelle, which feed among the lilies. Verse 6, listen to this. Until the day breaks and the shadows flee away, I will go my way to the mountain of myrrh and to the hill of frankincense. You are all fair, my love, and there is no spot in you. This guy's in love. Solomon is in love with her. When you're in love with somebody, do you see spots on them? Let me tell you something. If somebody says, oh, I love you, but man, you know what? I don't dig that freckle right there. If you could do some of that freckle, then we got a future. Then they don't love you. Something's weird there. Something's wrong. The old saying, love is blind. There's a lot of truth to that. That's the grace of God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a series within a series called Being a Christian in Your Home. We mention that it's a series within a series because it's part of the collection of studies called Life and the Bible, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, this is a series our teacher recently concluded, and it's available for purchase on either CD or DVD. You can visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. And whether you call, click, or write, just be sure and mention it by title, The Life and the Bible Series. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.